Hey guys, welcome to the final installment of our Staying Emotionally Healthy in a Crazy World. And today we're going to talk about fear and anxiety. Now, if you haven't suffered from fear and anxiety, I'm pretty sure you'll know someone who has suffered from fear and anxiety. And today's message is not like a how to overcome it perfectly. It's just some ideas of things that have helped myself and other people that I know get through a really tough, a tough condition actually. Something that really affects us and can be quite crippling. But I thought it's a bit of a fun way of introducing the idea today. I did some research on different phobias that people suffer. Because I'm sure we're all scared of something, aren't we? Even if we won't admit that we're scared of something, we might just be scared of admitting that we're scared of something. But we're all frightened of it. And I thought I'd find some unusual phobias. So the first phobia I found, I thought was a bit different, is a ablutophobia. It's something I suffered from as a teenager. That was a fear of washing or bathing. Okay, then the next one I thought was a bit unusual, was barophobia, the fear of gravity. Now, I've never met anyone who's scared of gravity, but apparently people can be scared of it, which is a bit unusual. Now, this one, for some of you, it's a bit late to be scared of it, but geriascophobia, which means a fear of growing old, okay? I bet there's a lot of young people who are scared of that. Got the next one, which is I can't pronounce this word properly, yeah? Ephebiphobia, which means a fear of teenagers. If you've got teenage kids, you may fully understand this fear. And the other one, which I probably suffer from this quite badly at times, socarophobia, the fear of the parent-in-laws. Crippled by that in my life. But it's amazing, isn't it? The different things that people can be scared of. You know, things that we don't think are scary. We may think, well, what, really? People scared of gravity? But we all can be scared of something. A fear can cripple us. And it's amazing. Now, those are funny things there that we're scared of. But we can be scared of really things that are really serious. Things that actually aren't a joking matter. You know, some of you might be really scared at the moment of catching COVID-19. Some of you may be scared of a loved one catching COVID-19. Some of you may be scared of losing a partner. You may be scared of bad health returning. You may be scared of losing a job. You may be scared of being rejected by people you love. You may be scared of being out of control in your life. You may be scared of getting an application to stay in this country turned down. You know, the list could go on and on. And fear will get every single one of us at some times. And it's not nice to live in proper fear. It's not nice to live with fear that is crippling us. And I'm not talking about the sensible fears. You know, fear can be a really, really good, sensible thing. I'm talking about the fear that keeps affecting you over and over again. Not the fear of someone running at you with a knife, but the fear of what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. And when fear gets down into our soul, when fear gets really deeply within us, when anxiety takes root in our lives, it affects every part of us. It affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with other people. It reflects the way we just do things. And it's really tough. But fear initially wasn't actually a bad thing. In our bodies, fear is not a bad thing. But fear is a bad thing when it's taken out of context, when anxiety starts to set in. You know, I just did a bit of research before the sharing this morning, and I discovered this, that when we get scared, our body goes into fight or flight mode, and physical things actually happen to our body. You know, our heart rate and our blood pressure increase, our pupils dilate to let in as much light as possible, our veins on our skin constrict to send as much blood as possible to our main muscle groups, our blood glucose levels increases, our muscles tense up and get energized by adrenaline or glucose. A non-essential system like our digestive system and immune system is shut down to allow more energy to go to our emergency functions. We have trouble focusing on the small tasks because our brain is directly focused on the big picture, only on the big picture, in order to determine where the threat is coming from. And we go into this fight or flight mode. Now the problem is for a lot of us that when we go into this fight or flight mode, it's okay for a short period to deal with what we have to deal with. But when we go into a long-term situation, when we have fight or flight mode in the long term, it causes problems. That's when my anxiety sets in. And I sort of think of anxiety being our bookmark expressions today, an autoimmune disease of our mental health. You know, anxiety is when fear, which is good for us, which protects us, which helps us, which helps us to escape from the bad guy who's chasing us with a knife, and who helps protect us from the wild lion that's coming to eat us. When that turns into something that's ongoing and our body stays in this state, that's when we suffer from anxiety. That's when problems start setting in. And it's like something that is good, that's meant for good for us, turns against us instead. And there's many things that can cause anxiety. But Craig Rochelle, I think, summarizes the categories superbly into four categories of things that we're scared of. The first is a fear of loss. Next one is a fear of rejection. Next is a fear of death. And the fear of the unknown. And it's not surprising that at the moment, looking at those four categories, why anxiety is on the increase, especially in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. People are fear of death, their fear of the unknown, their fear of loss, their fear of being out of control, of not being able to just do things. We hear the statement people often say to us that the Bible says, do not fear, 366 times. Just to clarify, I know I might mess up your social media memes here and your sermons and your talks in the future. The Bible doesn't actually say, do not fear, 366 times. It says that about 420 odd times. It's a lot more. Someone once said it in a sermon, but the fact of the matter is this. The Bible says a lot of times, do not be scared. Do not fear. And many of us as Christians are scared. We're in anxiety. We're struggling. You know, then we look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and it says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Now, this sounds so simple. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but you know what? I am scared at times. And at times, I felt like a failure. I shared in the first message in the series about how when I suffered from anxiety, I felt like a complete failure as a Christian. But you know what? You're not a failure. The reason the Bible says do not fear so many times is because we fear. God just wants to reassure us. He understands that we get scared. He understands that our bodies get anxious and that their fear mode sort of fights against us sometimes. And then fortunately, there's no silver bullet to overcome anxiety. But there is ways that we can help ourselves. And there's three things that I've worked out that have been beneficial to people who I've counseled and got alongside in church and for myself personally. And that is, when anxiety sets in, I try and encourage people to do three different things. The first one is, I need to rewire my thinking. I'm not talking about cognitive behavior therapy, anything like that, but we need to think differently. You know, often when our thoughts get out of control, it causes us anxiety. So we have to rewire those thoughts. We have to rewire that thinking. The next thing is this, I have to revive my trust in God. You know, when Craig Rochelle once said this, he said, the things that you are most scared of are the things that you trust God the least with. So you need to revive that trust in God. And the final thing is this, we need to reevaluate our priorities. You know, often we get caught up being who we weren't created to be and trying to be something that we were not supposed to be. And when that happens, we get into really bad habits and anxiety can really set in. So we have to reprioritize our lives and what's going into our lives. And to overcome anxiety, we need to address the cause and not just the symptoms. So I want to encourage you, God doesn't want you to be stuck in anxiety. It's a long process to get out of it, but there is hope the other side. But let's just unpack. How do we get through? What did I mean by those three things? The first thing is this, rewiring my thinking. You know, when you get anxious, it's crippling. You know, when true anxiety comes in, it absolutely cripples you. It stops you being effective and doing what you're supposed to be doing. I think my wife described it brilliantly as, she said, fear is that if you put your hand on the hob, you might burn yourself. Anxiety is, I can't use the whole hob. I can't use the cooker at all because I may burn myself. And so fear is like taking that little bit of something which is slightly true and exasperating it, making it so much bigger than we can ever face. You know, what happens with fear is when fear and anxiety build up with us, our brain starts misfiring. We start focusing on the wrong things. We start blowing up things that we shouldn't blow up. And I love Paul in Romans 12 verse 2. He calls us to be new, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And sometimes we have to renew our minds. Sometimes we have to practice renewing our minds. We have to practice getting our thinking right. But how do we transform our minds? How do we rewire it? What sort of things do we need to do? And I find that when I'm trying to reprogram my thinking, when I'm getting really anxious, and when I'm really struggling and bad thoughts are coming into my head, I go to Philippians 4 verse 8, and it says this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, the problem with most people when we suffer from anxiety is this: a lot of it is about, most people admit that the thinking's wrong, out of control. Like when I was suffering from anxiety, I knew that I was being silly. And I don't use the underestimate that word. I knew I was being a bit silly, the way I was thinking, the way I was doing things. I knew my thinking was out of control. But I almost felt like I couldn't do anything about it. And I kept focusing on the bad stuff, the what ifs, the what if this happens, what if that happens. And everything sort of grew. And I kept focusing on those bad thoughts. And when Paul says here, he says, don't focus on the bad stuff. Focus on the good stuff. Rewire yourself effectively to focus on good stuff, not the bad stuff. Because if we all keep focusing on the what ifs, the bad stuff that's going to happen, we're going to get swamped and overwhelmed by those thoughts. But when we start focusing on the good stuff, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is worthy of praise, we start focusing on that, it really lifts us. It starts taking the focus off our problems and the bad stuff and puts a focus on what's going well in our lives. You know, anxiety has an awful habit of taking over our thoughts. You know, the classic example of anxiety would be this. Your wife comes home late from work. You're thinking, where is she? She's not home yet. You think, oh my goodness, I hope she hasn't had a car crash. Oh my goodness, what if she has had a car crash? What would have happened? What if it's a really serious car crash? What if she's really ill right now and suffering in a ditch somewhere because she's crashed her car on the way home? Oh my goodness, if she's in a ditch right now, isn't she? And then the next thing in your head, you're thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to tell the kids that their mum's in a ditch? Lying in a ditch from a car crash. Oh my goodness, I'm going to have to bring up the kids all by myself. This is really bad. Next thing you know, you're planning your wife's funeral and your life without your wife because she's half an hour late. Now that thought just started because, oh my goodness, why is my wife late? And those thoughts just build bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you think I'm crazy saying that, I know a lot of people who've thought those sort of thoughts before. And you're not the only one if you have thought like that. You see, there's anxious thoughts that just circle around your head and they can get bigger and bigger and bigger. But you need to focus on the good. Focus on the fact, you know what, if my wife is coming home late, it might just be because there's a lot of traffic on the road. It's that simple. It might be because she stayed home later at work to help a friend who was struggling. Focus on the good stuff and not always on the bad stuff and the worst case scenarios. You know, Paul goes on to say this in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. He says, "We demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought that to make it obedient to Christ." Now, it's great for me to say, think about good, happy thoughts, because the reality is when we're anxious, those anxious thoughts just keep growing and growing in our head. And we actually need to get rid of them. And one thing I found, a mentor sort of described this to me when I was really struggling. He said, "Jim, you need to take those thoughts captive and give them to God." Now, I'm a bit of a figurative speaker, so I'm a bit crazy today. But the way I handled this was I imagined a little cowboy in my head. Now, I haven't lost the plot, I promise you, this is really relevant. And in this little cowboy in my head, every time I had an anxious thought, I imagined this cowboy getting out his lasso, catching this thought, bringing it in, and handing it to God. So every time I got anxious because I thought, oh, my goodness, someone's going to think really badly of me, or, well, what if I do this wrong? All that sort of stuff that goes over and over and over in your head. I caught it and I said, "I don't want you in my brain. I'm giving you to God." And I kept handing it to God. Now, as crazy as it sounds, that little cowboy in my head worked. And he kept giving stuff to God. And it was amazing because I started getting control of things. I started saying, "God, I can't do this by myself, but I can do it through you. And I'm going to have to take every thought captive that doesn't belong in my brain, and I'm going to have to give it to God and say, God, can you help me deal with this? Now, it has two effects, this. First one is, starts to get rid of those thoughts and starts giving to God, and you start to realize he's in control. And the next thing is this, you start reviving your trust in God, which is my second point. You know, as I shared earlier, Craig Rochelle said this, the things that you're most scared of are the things that you trust God least with. When you trust God completely with something, you're not scared of it as much because you know that he's with you, you know that he's trusting you. And often our anxiety is caused by feeling out of control and not able to control stuff. And when we start handing over those thoughts to God, we start to say, God, I'm trusting you and not trusting myself. This is what Jesus said in Matthew's gospel. He said, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Solomon was a king, a grand king, just in case you're not sure there. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Now, Dr. Henry Cloud, I've listened to him quite a lot, and he actually said, when he read this passage, he's a psychologist, psychotherapist or something, and he said this, that it's almost like Jesus understood how we were put together. He knows that we worry. He knows that we have doubts and fears. And he says, what's the point of worrying about stuff that is not directly in front of us? He said, instead, trust God. You know, so much of our worries with fear and anxiety, we're not worrying on the stuff that's directly in front of us. We're worrying about the what ifs. The what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this? And we need to learn to trust God instead. Because this passage, I'm sure you would have heard it many times and probably been beaten over the head with it many times by Christians. But how many times does God let you down? Genuinely, how many times has God himself let you down? Not what other people have let you down, not when circumstances have happened for you, but how many times has God actually let you down? In my life, I honestly can't think of a time when God has let me down. When God has abandoned me. When God has forsaken me. There's times I've forsaken him, but not times when he's forsaken me. I have the feeling that you might have had the same thing yourself, that God may not have let you down. Yet we still worry about tomorrow. What if God doesn't quite come through for us tomorrow? But you know what I've worked out is that God's already in tomorrow. And I need to stop worrying about things that I can't control and start getting on with doing what I can do today. You know, he's not letting us down. But often other things are affecting us. And with anxiety, we need to just come back to God and say, God, I know you're in tomorrow. We need to keep reminding ourselves that God is sovereign. God is in control. He's never going to let us go. He's never going to abandon us. He's going to be there with us. And we need to revive that trust in God again. And then the next thing is this. We need to start reevaluating our priorities. You know, often anxiety is caused when our priorities are out of kilter, when out of balance. You know, example, if you've got an overdependence on a person, maybe your whole life has just been built around one person, and you're anxious that if you lose them, your life's going to fall apart. It could be that your whole identity is built around your job, and you're anxious because you think if there's uncertainty in your job, because if you lose your job, you feel like you're losing your identity. For some of you, losing your job will almost be a pride thing, and you're anxious because your pride is built in your job and then what you've built up in your work. And for some of you, your kids have become absolutely everything. Without your kids, you don't know how you're going to cope. You don't know how you're going to, it just become your life. And the idea that you can't spend time with them or they're going to grow up is really affecting you and making you anxious. If you've based all your security around money, you're going to be scared when there's every time there's a financial crash, because you're going to think, what if I lose my security? What if I lose my money? And the problem is, when we do, we build our lives around things and our life goes out of balance, and we build our life around things that aren't actually right, we actually make mini gods in our lives. And the problem with those mini gods is they're not God. Pure and simple. They can't save you. They're not going to love you when everything else is going bad. They're not going to be there tomorrow. Ness is guaranteed to be there tomorrow at least. But we need to reevaluate our priorities. We need to say our work is not everything. We can't build our lives just around one person. We can't build our lives around money. We can't build our lives around just around our kids. But instead, we have to get that rebalancing, that reprioritize our lives. You know, it's very funny that Jesus says, don't worry about your clothes, in that preface you read a minute ago. Because clothes are so superficial. He's like, well, why worry about them? Why let clothes cause you stress? And I think, why let that bigger house cause you stress, having to pay for a massive house? Why do you always want more if that's going to cause you stress? Why not enjoy your life with less? I'm really impacted by the Ten Commandments. And the first two commandments, it said this. So you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven or above, or on earth below, or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. And guys, the problem is often our anxiety happens because we start to worship things, and we fear that if we lose those things that we're worshiping, that we're losing everything. But when we have our identity of being children of God, loved by God, supported by God, who are important to God, then we're refocusing our priorities. You know, we start demoting the many gods we put in our life, and we start putting God back at number one. You know, we weren't created to be machines that were amazing at everything. But we were created for a relationship with each other and with God. And the problem is, we get anxious at times because we look on social media, we look on TV, we look at our friends, and we look at how much they do, and sometimes we just feel insignificant. But we need to say, we mustn't be chasing after trying to keep up with the Joneses. Instead, we just need to start being who God has created us to be. We need to reprioritize our values. We need to reprioritize who we were created to be and start being sons and daughters of God. Start being a mum and dad, not Superman or Superwoman. If your job sucks the life out of you, pray God gets you another job. Start letting go of the things that are causing stress. If your work's causing stress and you can't spend time with your family and it's causing anxiety, change your job. I know it's not always easy as doing that, but pray that God will help you to change your work. It's time. Your anxiety is often caused by a life out of kilter. And unless we're prepared to make those changes and to reorganize things, we're going to continue to struggle with anxiety for the rest of our lives. And that's not what we're called to do. And I just want to finish just reading a passage here from 1 John 4, verse 16 to 18. It says this: we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of punishment. And this shows we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Guys, I want to encourage us. We were created for that relationship with God. And the ultimate way that we defeat anxiety is by experiencing his love and being fully immersed in the love of God.